Moore. Open. Catch. Touchdown.
This is just so creative. It really is.
Jacobs cutting back. Getting to the edge. Jacobs is in for the touchdown.
He's not always the speed guy going around, but very often you'll see him give a little wiggle and go right through the tackle. He has that kind of power.
Fourth and one.
Welcome to Fourth and One. Kansas City, how you feeling? We got two more weeks till there's another football game, but this is not any exaggeration, the biggest football game in a half century for Kansas City. So, Nick, how about them Chiefs? Where were you on that?
You didn't. I was looking at my phone.
Wow, what a failure. Yeah, you know what?
It's
like, you know. It's like being on a date, you know. She's just scrolling through her phone, paying no attention to me, and then
I like to swipe left on your.
I'm like, I'll give you $500 if you can tell me what I just said. And she's like, huh? What?
I like to swipe left on your ideas that I don't know anything about. Automatically left.
All right.
Left.
Look here. I was trying to do like a special AFC Championship Super Bowl bound intro here, and I feel like you ruined it for me.
I probably did, and I enjoyed every second of it.
I got to say.
The frustration afterwards feels amazing.
Yeah, no, I got to say.
I'm enjoying this more than how much I got to enjoy the championship, which is absolutely not.
I was going to say. We were both working during the game, so I had a friend text me and goes, I'm so happy right now. I can only imagine how happy you are. How are you feeling? I said, I'm working, so I'm stressed.
exactly.
But, in all fairness, I mean, high mark for the franchise. I feel like you're leaving me hanging on the Chiefs. Low mark for the Fourth One podcast. The range of emotions I'm feeling right now is incredible.
about the podcast or the championship?
Just in general. Also, by the way, and I haven't got to watch much of this game, looks like the 49ers are playing some good football right now. They had struggled a little bit down the stretch, but all of a sudden, they're playing pretty good.
Yeah, I got a feeling they're going to be the Chiefs' opponent based on the score whenever we came up to tape the podcast.
Yeah, I believe it was pretty close to 76-0, so.
Why do you use that for literally everything? Oh, my goodness,
I don't know.
Man.
I used to play trombone.
I literally know what your pin code is for your
it's just 76
for your debit card. So yeah.
I had to get special permission from my bank, and I was like, I don't want to use a 4-digit code. I just want 2 digits, and they're 76. And then they were like, no, you have to do 3, and I was like, fine, 760.
No, I figured it was gonna be 4, and it was gonna be 7600 or 0076. Yeah. Either way.
You're pretty close. You're not far off.
Yep. What? You're welcome, hackers out there.
There you go. Totally got me. And I hear that most of our listeners are hackers, so that probably makes sense. But in all seriousness, man, were you nervous? Say 10 minutes into the game when it was 10-0, or after the Chiefs finally got on the board, but the Titans answered right back and it's 17-7. Because we had talked about how. This is not a team that you want to let get too far away. If you got down, you know, more than two scores, you were just begging for the Titans to run it down your throat. You were inviting trouble. Trouble that, as good as the Patriots were last year, once Patrick Mahomes got going in the second half, you felt like he was invincible. And were it not for an offsides penalty, Charvarius Ward's interception would have proven you right. Last week, when it's 24-0, you're a little nervous, but I think everybody in Chiefs Kingdom, once they got that touchdown, felt good. I was starting to, when it was 17-7, I was starting to think, oh man, like, I'm just not sure they got it today. That was the first time I was like, oh boy, they have got to figure something out. And then of course, Patrick Mahomes did Patrick Mahomes things. He threw that laser beam up the seam to Tyreek Hill for Tyreek's second touchdown. But we got to talk about the run, man. That scramble, where is that featured on Patrick Mahomes' Canton montage?
I think that for me, that was kind of the point where I wasn't nervous anymore after I saw that, because when I saw the Titans defense let up on their pursuit angles and Patrick kind of faking him out in regard where he looked like he was going to the sidelines.
Right.
And
yeah.
Once he saw him all let up, he's like, all right. And then he took off and went in the end zone. Whenever I saw that happen, I felt it was over then, because I was like, I was like, yeah, right there. That was it. That was the play that was going to define the game. That was the Sorensen hit on the fumble, or the punt.
Yeah.
The punt tackle. That was the play.
It was the same thing as last week. It was you look at it, and when you look at the Texans or you look at the Titans and you say, aside from maybe a turnover, this could not have started any better for this team. This is exactly what they wanted to do. And then Patrick Mahomes said, I don't care and it doesn't matter. I'm going to put this team on my back and I'm going to find a way. And to be clear, it wasn't like he was outrunning defensive tackles to the side. That was two linebackers that he beat to the sideline and then okey-doked up the sideline. And then that was a cornerback who apparently wanted nothing to do with tackling Patrick Mahomes the second inside the five. But, I had the same feeling you did. Once it had to be so demoralizing last week for the Texans and then again this week for the Titans to have done everything you thought you needed to and still find yourself trailing at halftime by 4 points.
Yeah, that play kind of started their – that was the play that defined the game and started their downfall. But the one that was the dagger for them was whenever Mahomes chucked that ball to Sammy Watkins. Like, just the emotion on the sidelines, just every guy was deflated and defeated at that point for the Titans. They gave it an effort after that. They were props to some of the players and coaching staff for the Titans to be able to try to mentally get some of the guys back in the game there, because I didn't think they'd be able to. But those were kind of the two plays that kind of defined where this organization is now versus where it's been during a lot of the snake bitten years.
And how about Sammy Watkins? Because he's a guy who all year has drawn a lot of ire from fans. He, in a lot of respects, and part of this is due to injury, and guys can't always control that, but has not performed up to his contract. But he's shown up in some key spots the last couple weeks when the Chiefs needed him. He didn't get in the end zone last week, but he had some big plays, if you remember that game last week. Good for Sammy Watkins. You know what I mean? They've needed him to make plays. They've needed somebody to step up. We've been harping on that down the stretch about how when they get to the playoffs, somebody's got to become that difference maker. And Sammy Watkins has been that guy, I think, in a lot of respects the last 2 weeks for that offense, along with Damien Williams.
Yeah, he had to step up. Damien Williams had to step up. And then DeMarcus Robinson stepped up for that
today.
One catch.
Yeah, today.
So, at the end of the day, each one of them had to play their part and do their role to kind of help this thing happen, since the defense was so worried about Kelce and Tyreek for the most part there. So each one of those guys did. And the one where Patrick had already thrown it on that out route and Sammy just turned his head, he's like, oh, the football's there. Okay. I didn't think he was going to catch that one, but he did.
No. And we saw, I think it was the drive before. It was a similar throw to Tyreek Hill that hit him right in the chest. And Tyreek wasn't able to adjust when the ball got right up on him. Sammy Watkins, just can't say enough about him. Also, incredibly, incredibly wonderful moment after the game when Bobby Bell presents the Lamar Hunt Trophy to Lamar Hunt's family. So let's hear from Clark Hunt real quick about what this all means. Being AFC champions, getting his dad's trophy, going to Super Bowl 54. They have walked the road to Miami, guys.
I think my message would be that the journey is a big part of it. We're going to celebrate tonight, and it's going to be tremendous. But it wouldn't be what it is without the hardship, without all the hard work that went into getting us here. Yeah, 50 years is too long. But we're going to Miami. We've got a chance to win another Super Bowl. And I hope to see as many of those Chiefs fans in Miami as possible.
It's crazy to think if you're not at least 55 years old, you probably don't have any realistic recollection. And even if you are 55, you may not have a real crisp recollection of the last time the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl. But what struck me, and I don't know what you thought about it, Clark Hunt got a rousing ovation. Clark and Norma got a rousing ovation when they were presented the trophy. But Andy Reid got a much, much bigger ovation. And obviously, Andy's come in and done some great things for this organization. I know that people have sometimes been frustrated that he hasn't quite gotten over the hump, and he didn't in Philadelphia either. I was impressed, with the recognition of what this moment means to this town, this team, and to Andy Reid that was shown there. So let's hear from Andy Reid about that moment as well.
All right, where's the trophy, man? Listen, first of all, I'm so happy for the Hunt family and bringing that trophy back here. Wow, how great is that? That's right. That's right. Thank you, Randy. I'm proud of our team for the effort that they showed today. Never die is kind of their thing. I mean, it's getting behind like this, tough on an old guy, but they did a nice job coming back. And again, fired up to go to Miami. Need to get on a diet so I can fit in my clothes so we can go do our thing. But very proud of everybody and the job that they did, the coaches and the coordinators for the plan that they had. EB talked to the team last night and got them all fired up, and EB's been there as a player and a coach, and I thought he had some real great words for the players and coaches for that matter. So, but the guys came out and played with a ton of energy. We had a few ups and downs there early. We were able to overcome those and get ourselves going in the right direction. And anyways, my time's here. The fans were phenomenal. That thing out there right now, unbelievable. So
I wonder if Andy's just going to wear his Hawaiian shirts all week long while he's down there.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, he's, you know, maybe he was already packed for the Pro Bowl just because he's superstitious like a lot of Kansas City fans. And maybe he's like, you know what? This works either way. Yeah. So I just hope, you know, one of our coworkers here, Ariel Rothfield, big Miami Dolphins fan, Miami native. So we'll give her a pass on that because she comes by it honestly, even though, you know, it's a little gross. But we're going to have to get her recommendation for best cheeseburger and then pass it along to Andy so that the Friday before the game, he can have his traditional cheeseburger.
I got a feeling he's been down to Miami a couple times before and he may have an idea.
Maybe Ariel knows of a better place.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I'm sure Andy will appreciate it.
And you got to remember, I mean, this is a Miami Dolphins team that the reason this game was in Kansas City in large respect is because of Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Dolphins beating the New England Patriots. They're in the final game of the regular season. So thank you, Miami. Some of us will see you soon. I did want to talk real quick, though, about, you know, the defense. And the defense, obviously, slightly different than last year in the AFC Championship game. How much Brett Veach took some heat early.
Took a lot of heat.
Yeah. You know, people talking about how, oh, he can't, you know, he's over his head. He doesn't know what he's doing. Look. Bottom line is, leading tackler in today's game, Tyrann Mathieu, the safety they went and got in free agency. Guy who got the sack to clinch it and helped set the tone with Tyrann all season. Frank Clark, who was acquired in a trade, you know, early in the season and was injured. And, you know, look, I'm not saying that everything was hunky-dory and that there weren't, you know, problems. Bottom line is, every roster has its holes, you know. And we can nitpick the offensive line or different things here and there. Time to give Brett Veach's props, right? I mean, this team's going to the Super Bowl.
I mean, look, he built a championship roster. That's the reality. I know people all the time want to fight with what Dorsey did for this roster versus what Veach did for this roster, but Veach was in that. I know people say that Dorsey's name was attached to XYZ, and I mean, at the end of the day, let's be honest. I mean, Veach had a part in it, and Andy has a part in it, and everybody has a part in it, and Chris Ballard had a part in it. So, but I mean, the stories have come out there, and they're real. Veach was the one behind Patrick Mahomes. That's the reality, and that's what people won't give him credit for, and it always infuriates me. It's like, he's the one who put in all the work for it. He's the one who had to sell the people in the organization on that. There's a lot of people that didn't believe that Patrick Mahomes had good footwork, or that he was a reckless quarterback, or that he was this or he's that. Guess what? He just took you to a Super Bowl. So how about them apples? Then on top of that, you want to talk about, you know, Frank Clark was getting ripped all year, and anytime I would say something on Twitter like...
Not by us.
Yeah, but by a lot of people, he was getting ripped about how, well, they should have kept D Ford. And you know, and anytime Frank Clark had a...
D Ford going to be in the Super Bowl, too.
Strong possibility. There's going to be 2 5-5s. One of them flashes the five each time to let him know how many times he shows up a game. The other one just just does it.
Yeah.
Also talks a little bit.
But, I don't mind it. Hey, it ain't bragging if you can back it up.
Yeah, but... I mean, Brett Veach, if you look at how they overhauled that defense, what they had to bring in here, whenever they, you know, for the most part, whenever you drafted Juan Thornhill, you brought in Tyrann Mathieu, you brought in Breshad Breeland, you drafted Rashad Fenton, you brought in Morris Claiborne, you brought in almost the whole whole new linebacker group in a lot of regard, and you brought in an additional D-line rotation. You made some of the tweaks that you needed to on offense. At the end of the day, it was a championship roster that's headed to a Super Bowl. So, yeah. I mean, there's still one more game left and everything, and hopefully the Chiefs get that Super Bowl, and then guess what? You can say whatever you want, but they potentially have the title if that happens. So, I mean, Brett Veach, he did everything he had to in this 2 years that he was able to build this team and had to reshape it to where it fit more of what they needed to help Patrick succeed. And then, look, they made the brave choice a year ago, made it to an AFC Championship game, and then they made the brave choice, we need to tear that all down and do this to get back, and it worked. That doesn't always happen. That didn't happen a lot in the NFL, but they went and did what they had to, and Andy went with legacy over loyalty to Bob Sutton, and it got him to the Super Bowl like he needed.
Well, and that's, you have to give credit to Andy Reid and to Brett Veach, because honestly, Veach may have wanted to make that move a little earlier. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you could tell by the draft he had going the year before that he had picked a lot of guys that seemed to fit a scheme that maybe a bit of a different scheme. So I think Veach had this in mind all along, and lo and behold, here we are. Hope you guys enjoy the next 2 weeks because you're going to hear a lot about the Chiefs. It's going to be a lot of fun, but it's also going to be a long 2 weeks as you get ready for that Super Bowl. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to come back and dissect a little bit more about this game here on 4th and 1.
Action News, your home of the Chiefs.
When winter weather strikes, it can make life difficult, sometimes even dangerous. Our job as meteorologists is to track everything going on around you, minute by minute, 24/7, on every screen.
Right now, we're tracking those icy road conditions.
This winter, trust us to bring you Kansas City's most accurate forecast, keeping you safe when it matters most. 41 Action News, Kansas City's weather leader.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And Nick, at the end of the day, it was a comfortable win for the Chiefs. I think it's going to be a comfortable 2 weeks if you're a fan, because Patrick Mahomes shows up every game. I don't think there's any question that he's going to show up. And Tyrann Mathieu, who sets the tone for that defense in so many ways, you know, he was asked after the game, you know, hey, do you feel like a champion? And he was like, no, you know, and they're like, well, you're AFC champion. And he's like, nah, man. I love the fact that he's like, yeah, we didn't come out here to win the Lamar Hunt trophy. We didn't come out here to win an AFC champion. That's great. And that's a step on the way. And we're happy to hit that mile marker, but that's not the destination. You know, so good to hear that those guys already have the right mindset, I think, to go attack this couple weeks. So let's hear real quick from Patrick Mahomes and Tyrann Mathieu and their reaction to this win.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Obviously, being able to do it at home, being able to win the Lamar Hunt trophy here and do it for the fans and everybody like that was awesome. We fell short last year, and we learned from it, and we built every single day, and now we have the chance to go to Miami and get the ultimate goal, which is Super Bowl.
So happy for Coach Reid. You know, I say it all the time. You know, you think about his coaching tree. You know, a lot of guys that, you know, he's made head coaches. You know, a lot of guys that he's really given opportunities to, especially minorities. You know, you think about the players, you know, that have come up under him. Hall of Fame caliber. I think he's a great coach. I think he's all about his players. I think he's all about team. But most importantly, he allows us to be ourselves, right? Like, he's not restricting us from our personalities. And I think that has a lot to do with, you know, us fighting through adversity, us believing in ourselves, us committing to each other week in and week out.
So that was Patrick Mahomes and Tyrann Mathieu. You know, just talking about the season, the journey. You and I, when the playoffs started, said that the Titans and the Ravens were the two teams we were most worried about. And look, mm-hmm. San Francisco, with their pass rush and with their run game, is going to be a tough matchup. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I've always felt this week about this game was, you know, the Titans have been on such a run, and full credit to them for the Cinderella story that they've had. But if the Chiefs could get to the Super Bowl, you're facing either a first or second year head coach, and you're giving Andy Reid an extra week to prepare. And we know what Andy Reid coming off the bye is, and we know what Andy Reid going against coaches who've never been in this position before. He's not going up against Bill Belichick with a broken star wide receiver and, you know, talent deficits at virtually every position on the field this time around in a Super Bowl. And Andy Reid, I think, knows these moments don't come very often, as good as you are, and you've got to capitalize on them. Is there going to be anyone more motivated than Andy Reid the next 2 weeks to figure out a way to make sure that the Chiefs get this job done?
Here's what I'm telling you right now. I do not want to be the opposing coach going against Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo and Dave Tobe and Eric Bieniemy. All those guys that were with him in Philly, and for the most part, if I remember correctly, most of those guys were part of the coaching staff as Todd gave himself a concussion by hitting his head on the microphone.
That was my bad.
Todd, what day is it?
Thursday.
I was hoping you'd say today because you still would have been correct. So right. we're gonna bring in a doctor to check.
I'm in the concussion protocol. Hold on,
Todd. What's your favorite movie? Biscuits. All right, Todd. There we go. He's gonna be fine. No, but I mean, I don't want to be the guy that's going against Andy Reid this upcoming game. This is the one thing that stands in his way of guaranteeing his legacy in the Hall of Fame. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of people like myself. What that dude's done in this league, I mean, it goes underappreciated. But I'm saying, like, this is the one thing that...
it's the one hole in his resume.
It's the one thing that definitively nobody can hold against him ever again. Because, I mean, that guy's built the coaching tree that Bill Walsh built, and then that Holmgren built out of it, and now Andy Reid's built out of it. Like, I mean, that group, that's what of a lot of football that everybody knows and loves in this league is because of that tree and the branches off of that. So I think that I do not want to be the guy that's going against that coaching staff for the Chiefs organization or Patrick Mahomes right now. I'm not saying the Niners aren't going to be a formidable challenge, but I'm just telling you that is not the Andy Reid and the Chiefs right now are not the football team that I want to go against.
If I'm them, I was rooting hard for a Titans to keep rolling.
And then when you saw Derrick Henry get stuffed out like that, because I'm telling you, I'm not saying the Niners don't have a good offensive line. They don't have the Titans run game offensive line.
No.
It's more based on Kyle Shanahan and getting correct blocking angles. And Jimmy Garoppolo is not, in my opinion, he's kind of on Ryan Tannehill level. So,
yeah.
I'm telling you, the stars of a line for the Chiefs overall from where you look at everything. There's a lot of opportunity there, and I'll give you two stats. Did them on Twitter. Andy Reid is the fourth head coach in NFL history to lead a team from both conferences to a Super Bowl. So he joined Bill Parcells, Dan Reeves, and John Fox. So Andy Reid's only the fourth coach to do that. You add that to a Hall of Fame resume. And then on top of it, he's only the seventh coach in NFL history to lead multiple franchises to a Super Bowl, joining former Chiefs head coach Dick Vermeil, his mentor Mike Holmgren, Bill Parcells, Dan Reeves, John Fox, and Don Shula. So again, that's another thing that you add.
Heard of a few of those guys.
Yeah, heard of all of them. So I'm saying that's rare air for Andy Reid to be in. I'm just telling you, like, if he can get that Super Bowl win, which I think everybody's rooting for, that is the one thing that locks him in, guarantees him in the Hall of Fame, and they cannot keep him out of it. However long that takes, who knows, but they can't keep him out of it if he wins the Super Bowl. But to see that where Clark Hunt had that moment today, Andy had that moment today, everybody's families, whether it's fans or Chiefs players or the front office or everything, I was happy that each one of them were able to have that moment today. All the sacrifices that they go through behind the scenes that people will never get a glimpse of or be able to see, all those nights, everything. I mean, I'm just so happy that each one of them, it was a moment where it all made it worth it, I think, for a lot of those people to have to go through those sacrifices to have that moment today.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you would not want to be the person going up against Andy Reid. I would not want to be the person who has to line up against Frank Clark because Clark is healthy.
Woo.
I think Clark... Look, if you know anything about his history and the homelessness and some of the things that he experienced, that man has a chip the size of
Texas.
On his shoulder, Alaska even. And he will use just whatever you give him, he will use his fuel. You better believe He will be letting some folks in Seattle know that he's still playing. Y'all didn't want me. Guess who's still playing? You know, there was a little bit of controversy with some comments he made about stopping Derrick Henry, and everybody's talking about, I mean, I heard it on national media all week about how the Chiefs' run defense is trash. That was true weeks like 1 through 10. That has not been true recently. And I know that they haven't necessarily been playing the best run games, but ask the Oakland Raiders how good their run defense had become down the stretch, all right? You know, talk to some of these teams about it. I'm telling you, I think Frank Clark is going to be a wrecking ball no matter who he faces. And you talk about they want to take angles, they want to do things like that. Frank Clark may be in line for a monster game. And we'll break some of this down more during the week. But let's hear from Frank Clark, who was brought in to make sure that last year didn't happen again. And he delivered the goods today. Derrick Henry, 19 carries, 69 yards.
We're the baddest on the planet. At the end of the day, you know, I said they wasn't going to get over 200 yards. He probably didn't get over 65.
69.
69?
69.
I guess that's pretty good. At the end of the day, like I said, we conference champions. And the goal was to stop the run. We did well above that. We stopped the run and gave him 7 yards in the second half. I don't know how many times did he rush for.
19, I think.
19 rushes for 69 yards. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Is this the most confident group you've been a part of?
You can say that. I say this is the group that has the most heart. At the end of the day, you know, we didn't break. Beginning of the season, you know, first six games, you know, the team, everything is, you know, the investments and stuff of the players, it didn't look too well. You know, you guys are the media, so you guys understand, you're right. You've seen all the bad they were saying about us. You've seen all the bad they were saying about Frank Clark. One thing they didn't know is, you know, how long the season was, I think. You know, when you go six games and you try to judge a team or you try to judge a playoff six games of performance, you know, that's not enough. I said to my teammates, I didn't say it to you guys. I said to my teammates I was going to put together the best 10 games that they would ever see in my final 10 games of the season. I don't know if y'all do research. I don't know if y'all know the numbers and stuff. If you look at the last 10 games I've played, you look at the last 10 games we've played as a defense, look at what we've done. You know, look at these last, 11 now, 12, whatever you want to call it. Look what we've done as a defense. If you want to continue to doubt us, you can doubt us. If you want to continue to say we're not good at, if you want to continue, yeah, 26 in a run. Yeah, 19 rushes for 69 yards. Yeah, we 26 in a run, all right.
So that was Frank Clark.
I love that chip.
So Frank Clark has some things to say. but no, I mean, if you had told me before the game that the Chiefs were not only going to bottle up Derrick Henry, who had set an NFL record with three straight 180-plus yard games, I would have said, okay, they'll figure something out, but then Tannehill is probably going to have a big game. A.J. Brown's going to have a big game because there's going to be some gaps on the backside. If you'd have told me that not only would, you know, the play action pass was effective at times, but that there wouldn't be a lot of, you know, that Ryan Tannehill would have, 200 yards passing? And that the Chiefs would actually outrush the Tennessee Titans in this game, would not have believed you.
Yeah, the outrushing part, I wouldn't have believed. How effective the Chiefs were whenever they're running the ball today, that was actually
85 yards, man. 85 yards.
That stunned me today whenever I was watching that. I was like, oh, my goodness. Look at them just running the ball when they need to. And look, they accomplished what they needed to whenever we talked about on this podcast multiple times. I mean, They've gone out of their way to where they've done what they had to do. So I mean, I don't know. I was stunned by that, but at the same time, I mean, I don't know. I can't believe that they did it. Don't get me wrong. I predicted. I mean, you know, in our season predictions, I predicted. I think you predicted they're going to the Super Bowl too.
Yep.
You did not have 76-0 as your score for every game, though. When in the article, maybe on the podcast,
gives me an idea for next year.
Oh boy. But. It never really truly hits you that it actually happened. Like,
I'm still not sure that it has hit me yet that the Chiefs are really going to be playing in that Super Bowl. The Chiefs are playing in the last game, one way or another. There's not going to be another NFL game for 6 months.
Yeah, I don't believe you. I don't believe that the Chiefs are playing in the Super Bowl next week. I don't believe that. I don't know. I mean, to watch the Royals do what they did and get to the World Series, it's just been funny to see both organizations, how they both had that moment, and then they, the Royals got a little bit further that first year and lost in the World Series, but the Chiefs and them, just kind of the parallels between the two of them, and to do this within its own little time period that's been less than 10 years apart, that's pretty insane. So, I mean, we'll see what happens, but man, I mean, the way the Chiefs offense was attacking the outside the numbers there and everything, with the way they were giving up everything 10 yards underneath there, and the Chiefs just kept attacking it. And then when Mahomes saw him going man coverage and adjusted what he needed to on some stuff, and then the Tyreek Hill touchdown was just gorgeous to watch this season.
The first one or the second one? Because the first one, and I called this on the podcast last week, that I thought everything old would be new again, because you know how much Andy Reid loves that history. I told you I thought he might bring back that pop pass because Tennessee wouldn't be ready for it after they went away from it this year.
No.
And what'd they do? I think Andy Reid listens to the podcast.
You know, welcome if you do. Thanks for the download. No, that second one when he went down the seam.
Oh, there, that get a pass better than that.
The way he stuttered that and just how on point that was. It was fantastic. And then Mahomes just he was waiting for that moment. He just wanted to have that moment to where he stuck his arms out with the gladiator. Are you not entertained? And just chucked it down the field to Watkins.
Oh, because he had other guys underneath that he could have gone to for the first down. Yeah. And he's like, there it is.
Yep, he was just waiting. He wanted that moment. He just wanted to unload that football, and he got it. And he was beyond happy. That's the most excited I think I've seen that guy in his career, because he knew what that moment meant.
It was over. That was ball. As it turns out,
game, set, match.
As it turns out, Damian Williams' touchdown, a few minutes before, was enough points, but you knew there was no coming back unless they traded Patrick Mahomes to the Titans after that touchdown. There was no way that they were coming back. So heck of a win, heck of a moment. I hope you guys enjoy it. I hope you guys don't get nervous. Don't get worked up. Don't watch the San Francisco game and how dominant they performed at times and talk yourself into this being anything more than it is. It's going to be another really awesome football game. Have faith in this team and the way that they're playing. And just enjoy this ride, because who knows when it's going to happen again. Enjoy the moment. Like appreciate what's happening right now. We're going to take a quick break. Then when we come back, we will hear from your tweets. And hopefully Nick will be a little bit better prepared to play along with you.
They will not.
Action News, your home of the Chiefs.
When winter weather strikes, it can make life difficult, sometimes even dangerous. Our job as meteorologists is to track everything going on around you, minute by minute, 24/7, on every screen.
Right now, we're tracking those icy road conditions.
This winter, trust us to bring you Kansas City's most accurate forecast, keeping you safe when it matters most. 41 Action News, Kansas City's weather leader.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And hey, Nick, how about them? All right, man. It's a C block. What are we going to do?
Oh, sorry. I was checking my phone again.
Yeah, well, we do have to check the tweets.
Yeah.
And so, you screwed that part up, too.
Well, you jumped the gun there. So, I mean, anyways, we're going to check the tweets. And the first one, I'm going to go first this time.
Oh.
Not okay.
All right.
Okay.
I'm feeling
sassy. First question is going to be for you, and it's going to be from Truman Warpaint. Truman Warpaint.
Heard of him?
Is Garoppolo any good, or is he just a product of this running game? Also, is it true that Todd Palmer gave Nick a pink belly? That is inaccurate. I can already tell you that one.
Not pink belly, but pink eye. look, I think that San Francisco has a very good running game. I think Jimmy Garoppolo has some weapons around him in Deebo Samuel and Emmanuel Sanders. I also think that he is a vastly inferior quarterback to Patrick Mahomes. Hopefully the Steve Spagnuolo can find ways to highlight that fact. You ready for your first question?
Yes.
Okay. There's a video going around of a man unzipping his shirt and then reaching into his coveralls and pulling out a barbecue pork spare rib. Truman Warpaint, again, he was delivering the goods today. He wants to know, has Nick ever done this before with either Joe's or Q39? If so, what is the largest order you've sneaked in to the game or the press box.
I have not done that. I have not snuck in a rib in my overalls, because you can't wear overalls to when you're doing work stuff. And Todd just fumbled his phone, in case you're wondering.
Turnover. It's a turnover.
It's a tough break there. Todd is just too excited right now.
Well, at least
about the thought of sneaking food in.
At least it wasn't one of the soundproof panels on my head this time.
In case you guys didn't know, Todd is still reeling from that concussion he may have from smacking his head into the microphone.
And I'll tell you this. So we don't always, sometimes when Nick and I work weekends together, we didn't have time to go all the way to Jack's Deck or to Q39 or Joe's. And so sometimes we go to Jack's Deck. The most embarrassing thing was the one day Nick tried to go to Jack's Deck without me, and he did sneak a poor Russ under his shirt back into the station, and it was just a mess.
That literally never happened, because I always made you drive.
That's true. Yeah, we were going to the plaza. I had to drive. but it made for a good story.
Yeah, you have good fiction. This is going to be for both of us at this point, so we can. It'll be our final one. But essentially, everybody's kind of asking us what we think of the 49ers. So feel free to go first.
The 49ers pass rush terrifies me, mostly because of, you know, Nick Bosa. I mean, he is a game wrecker. He's the engine for their defensive line, much like Frank Clark is the engine for the Chiefs defensive line. It's worth mentioning, by the way, Chris Jones showed up in some key moments tonight, and that was good to see, because I think that portends good things for Chris Jones' availability in the Super Bowl, and I think you're going to need him. Like we talked about with Mike DeVito. And if you guys missed that Mike DeVito interview in the preview podcast, I encourage you to go back and download that. Mike, Nick, and I had a lot of fun. It was a great interview.
And I feel like Mike might be back here.
Mike even enjoyed it. Not all of our guests always enjoy being on with us.
I blame that on you.
But Mike DeVito definitely did. Between that running game and then honestly, I mean, look, if George Kittle's healthy, and you give him a couple weeks to rest up, you mix in Emmanuel Sanders, Debo, that run game. Look, this is going to be a tough matchup. They present a lot of problems in a lot of different areas. I think ultimately the Chiefs have the more talented roster, and I think they have the better head coach and they have the better quarterback, and those things will matter given the extra week to prepare.
I think the 49ers, I think what's going to be big about them is their team speed on defense and how quick that they are in that cover three scheme. And defensive line's really fast, and I figured that was going to give the Packers a lot of problems in their game, so it'll be interesting on that. Kyle Shanahan's a talented play caller. The Chiefs are probably going to be able to pull a lot from their matchup against the Falcons on Eric Berry's home return, and just how many points they had to score in that game and how they had to keep up with it. So I think there's a lot to take away that the Chiefs are going to attack, and they played Shanahan last year, you know, at Arrowheads in week three. So
the game Jimmy tore his ACL.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of it's going to be a very interesting football game. I think it's going to be a fun football game to watch overall. But at the end of the day, we're still moving on the 4th and 1 podcast with still talking about games.
Super Bowl 54, LIV.
Don't have to worry about the Senior Bowl this week, because right, there's a Super Bowl. Don't have to worry about talking about the Pro Bowl, because the Chiefs aren't going to it.
Yep. Instead, it'll all be talk about Super Bowl Live
for a whole 2 weeks.
Honestly, this might be the first time in several years where I don't get sick of Super Bowl coverage.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm going to be like, hey, I got a team in that.
So until next time, I bid you adieu.
Oh, look at Nick with the $5 words this time.
I use that literally every time you don't, that you don't say goodbye.
Whatever, man. Take care, kid.
All right. Time's yours.